flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back in here on QAM. Hollywood Omar Kelly, Dan Day with you. It's time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com, where Dave Hyde is standing by. Dave, I'm sorry we're running a little behind here. We took a page out of Joe's playbook here, and we're running a little late. But apologize. Thank you for the time here this morning. This is Dave Hyde from the Sun Sentinel. Dave, I got to tell you, though, we need someone calm and collected here this morning because we have been all over the map. A lot of this NIL stuff getting people fired up this morning. How's it going?
Yeah, I hear you guys ripping the NIL, which understandable. Needs a little organization, I'd say.
Yeah, just a little bit. What do you make of this situation, though, with Wisconsin, you know, essentially saying that they want to force this guy to stay at their school and honor this contract, which is a bogus contract, and then the Big Ten comes out and they're upset, and I just don't get why you want
to. ACC just sticks up their birdie fingers.
Yeah, but like, why, if you're Wisconsin and the Big Ten, do you want to look bad in this thing, going after a kid who's like, I mean, let's be honest, like, is he really that impactful to your program that you need him to stay there? Like, he didn't put up huge numbers last year. I just think it's a bad look for Wisconsin and the Big Ten.
Well, this is bound to happen because at some point there has to be some organization on how to actually run it can't be every year everybody's jumping ship somewhere else, can it? I thought Nick Saban had the best comment yesterday. I was listening to him, and he said players should get paid. Everybody is agreeing on that. Of course, he wasn't when he was a coach, but now that he's out, he's agreeing. And
He'd been paying for decades. What are you talking about, Dave?
The SEC hated the NIL because now everybody else is getting paid. But there has to be some organization. Why not make it a 2-year contract or something like that? That, you know, there can be, you know, that'd be for the benefit of the school. It'd be really for the benefit of the development of the player. It'd be a lot of good for it. You could pretend like you're going to classes again, which is funny. You never hear anybody ask, well, what are you majoring
in? Yeah, yeah. I'm majoring in playing in the NFL. Dave, I mean, the cat's out the bag right now. We don't have any regulation. You're getting to the point where a kid can transfer literally every year to every school to go play for the highest bidder. There's no more college allegiances to your whatever program it is. How do we get this thing back, though? How do we put the cat back in the bag?
Well, right now you're getting paid for all the amount the NCAA and all these big schools, you know, making millions and millions, and shadow economies developed. So players ended up getting their freedom. And now I have no problem with the players getting paid. It tells you how much money there is in college sports. When Miami signs, you know, they bring in Cam Ward for $1.5 million and they double it for their next quarterback.
Nearly triple it.
Or at least double it, okay?
The market is the market, though, right?
Yeah, Tua taught us that.
Yeah, the market was a false market in the NFL on that. Whole different subject. But, I'm all in favor of players getting paid, getting some of the money that was going into weight rooms and new dorm rooms and all that stuff. But there has to be some better organization to it. And whether that's, a 2-year contract or something, but it can't be just every year It's a free-for-all.
All right, Dave, I want to jump into some of this Dolphin stuff, and you did something in the Sun Sentinel that I tried not to do on a Monday when we came in here, and that was to essentially look at the teams that were still playing and, you know, say, well, why can't the Dolphins be one of those teams? And then, you know, start listing a bunch of reasons why. And Omar said it starts in the trenches. I say it starts in the trenches, perhaps, but there's also a lot of other areas that are troubling. But, Dave, it seems like you have done that here, which we ask people not to do. Just enjoy the games. But I always got to come back to our poor Dolphins.
Well, I gotta keep it local. let's be honest. It starts in the front office.
Yeah.
All right. What's the vision for the team?
That's a great question.
What is winning football? We never hear of the term the Dolphins' way because they have no way. I mean, it changes every few years, and so.
I'm sorry for laughing that hard, Dave.
Well, he's right. I mean, what is their vision?
There is no vision. It's like, can we max out Daddy's credit card again?
Their vision is, what do we have to do to this year to make the playoffs next year? Instead of having some long-term idea, okay, this is, you know what Pittsburgh football is, whether they win or not, you know how they're,
yes.
You know what Baltimore football is. Same with Kansas City now.
You got to have a little continuity for all that, Dave. You're bringing up organizations that have continuity.
He's right, though. They all have an identity. What is the Dolphins' identity? What
speed and fast.
Omar, what do they do well?
Flashy.
The GM's on a seventh year. How much continuity do you want?
Yeah, that is fair, too.
He's been there 10 years running the drafts. I mean, that's continuity. Right?
Hold on here, Dave. And you're going to make me treat you like these Dolphin fans on Twitter, okay? I know you've said
that. Okay, as long as I can treat you like Dolphin fans on Twitter, when you comments like that.
All right.
Nice counter, Dave.
You have tabbed it, Chris Greer, GM for life, and I think it's hilarious. However, he's here. He's not getting fired. You know
right.
What now? Like, what do we he's not going anywhere right now. Like, we all know that, you know, Mike McDaniel teams have caught up to his offense, or at least that's the theory now. Like, what now? What can they do now that actually helps them save their jobs?
Well, that's sort of and the column I tried to write for today was that, okay, look at all these winning teams. Now, the big story out of this weekend was takeaways. Teams, you know, Detroit had 5 turnovers. Philadelphia took the ball away twice, and obviously the Buffalo-Baltimore game was decided on basically Baltimore had 3 turnovers. So the Dolphins had a good defense scoring-wise. I mean, it surprised me what Anthony Weaver did with that defense. I thought, okay, that's maxing out, really, considering the talent. But they're 26 in takeaways, okay? So you look at, you're going to need – somehow to get more takeaways and turnovers, and that they were a good scoring defense, but they didn't change the game the way you look at these games this weekend. The defenses made big plays.
I mean, we don't even have a safety with an interception this season.
Exactly, right. And you know, they had 8 forced fumbles compared to, 15 the year before. So, you know, there's a lot of issues there that you know, I don't you address that with personnel, I would think, but then you get into the personnel. So they need 2 starting guards, and you look at all these teams this weekend, there was no investment in the guards. The highest was a second round pick by Washington, 37th overall, but like Buffalo has a third round pick and a guy they took off the Rams for a 1-year deal, and then they gave him a 2-year, $6 million deal. And that's sort of but they make these guards good enough. And the Dolphins, you know, have invested in guards sometimes and haven't made them good enough. So you just can't see using a first-round pick on a guard. Do they use it on safety? That's another stretch. A 13th overall on a safety, maybe, but
this regime only drafts premium positions high.
That's smart. I mean, that, you know, right? That typically they need a cornerback. they need a cornerback. I mean, the philosophy is smart in that regard.
They've just missed on a lot of the draft picks, but yes.
They missed on a lot of picks.
Here's my take on the whole – do you feel like this is a one-year and then you're out situation? If you don't
it
win.
It has that feel to it, doesn't it? Yep. I mean, it has that feel. Okay, we're going to give you one more year to get it right. Or again, this ultimately comes down to Steve Ross, and he surprises you. He gave Joe Philbin another year when everybody was scratching their head. Why?
Yes.
And then fired him four games into the following year. It was kind of a surprise that that Chris Greer was given the keys to the franchise back in 2019 when they went to the tank route. It was a surprise they fired Brian Flores. So it's hard to read what Steve Ross's mind is, but from the outside, it sure looks like, okay, we're going to give you one more year to straighten everything out.
Now, do you think that that's a healthy situation for you to vocally put it, your organization in, especially when it comes to free agents, when it comes to assistant coaches trying to join your staff, when it comes to, you know, selling the organization to people who need to buy in?
Never healthy, but what do you do? What's the alternative there, Omar? You buy into, okay, here's three more years, and when they haven't won anything?
Probably not.
Okay. I mean, so it just has the feel of that, they got to get some results this year. Then again, I said that last year, and in the what year of the rebuild are we in now?
Six, I think we're entering it, seven.
Depends on how you count. Seven.
Yeah.
It depends on what math you're using.
All right, Dave, we're not going to figure out the Dolphins today. Maybe we can take a stab at figuring out Jimmy Butler. I don't know where he ranks on unusual athletes you've covered over the years, and you've covered a lot of them.
He'd definitely be behind Ricky Williams.
But he's pretty close to the top of the mountain, I'm guessing, Dave. He gave a very strange press conference after the game on Friday. I don't know if he's fully engaged when he's out there. To be honest, it's tough to tell at this point. The Heat are in a really bad spot right now because I don't know what's out there to trade for, and I just don't know where they go from here, but... What do you make of this whole situation? Does it eventually come to a head at some point here? Like, how is this going to go down?
Yeah, I was there Friday night and watched Jimmy. When Jimmy got the ball or moved so he could get the ball, he was active, and otherwise he's basically standing around. I mean, his first half line was ridiculous. 8 points. No rebounds, no assists, no blocks, no steals, nothing at all. So, and that's how it's going to be. This is how he leaves town. It's a pity in many regards in that for 5 years he was the force that took them to three Eastern Conference Finals, two NBA Finals, but this is a mess. I don't know how. You know, you talk to people around the NBA, and they say it's going to involve like a four or a five team deal, so everybody can get out of it what they want. But you know, they'd be better to wait. I mean, from a trade standpoint, it sounds like only Phoenix can take a contract like Jimmy's and give him the extension he wants in the middle of the year. Now, if you waited till the off season, which of course. Who wants to keep this going for another 4 or 5 months? If you wait to the offseason, several other teams could be involved.
I guess the question then becomes, like, why would a team give Jimmy an extension right now? Like, what has he shown you over the last, not just this year, but the prior year? Like, what has he shown you that you want to, like, hitch your wagon to this guy and make him one of your top-paid players? Like, I don't know what he's doing that says, like, this is the guy, you know, that we want to have on our team for the next 3 years.
Well, I'm with you on that. Because what does he have left? Certainly in the playoffs is when he shows who he is, and he got hurt the first game of the last playoff. So essentially, as we roll around, it'd be 2 years since you've really seen Jimmy play a consistently strong night after night game. And, do you want to invest in that? I mean, the Heat are answering their own. They don't want to invest in that, yeah. And that's the real problem there. This isn't about you know, joy or playing time. It's about money. Simple thing. He wants a contract. If he's not going to get it, he's going to take his $48 million this year and just you know, go through the motions of the season.
I wonder how much bad information he's getting too, Dave. Like, I know that he's probably surrounded himself with a lot of yes men, and I think his agent seems to be one of the biggest clowns in the game. I don't know where you rank that guy, Bernie Lee, but like, I just feel like Jimmy's getting a lot of bad information, and maybe he needs to take like a long, hard look in the mirror and like, hey, you're not that guy anymore, and you know, you're getting paid to go out and play. You're getting paid a lot of money to go out and play. You got another year on this thing if you want to opt in for another $53 million. So it's like, I just don't get what he's doing, like what his end game is. Like, if he really thinks some team out there is just dying to trade for him and bring him in and pay him all this money, like he may need to reevaluate things.
Well, you look at the NBA, Bradley Beal, this guy, he's made, look at the people who are making big money. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you could look in the mirror and say, hey, I'm as good as that. So I get where you're saying. I agree with you that if I'm the Heat, I'm not investing in this to that to the level of $110 million is basically what it would take, another two-year extension. But as Omar knows, following free agency, it just takes one team. And it sounds like Phoenix wants him. The question is how to negotiate the architecture of a very complicated trade.
Yeah, they want to dump your Bradley Beal on Miami for what we want to dump.
Yeah, and the Heat would trade Bradley Beal to somewhere else, and here we go. You know, then you're off to the races of – okay, you get three other teams involved and trade draft picks moving around. And so that gets – you guys were talking about the NFL salary cap earlier. The NBA salary cap with the first and second aprons and all that stuff is – I can't even – someone has to translate for that for me.
Dave, thank you for the time. Certainly appreciate it. I'm not sure we got a lot accomplished here with this Dolphins thing and NIL.
GM for life, baby.
And Jimmy. But, Dave, hopefully you could find your joy here in this Dolphins offseason and come back a new man.
If I was making $48 million a year, I would have a lot of joy, let me tell you.
I would think. Dave, I'd take his paycheck for one game.
I looked it up the other day. I think he's made over $300 million.
I don't know if he's made over $300 million or not, but I know that he makes $500,000 a game right now.
Well, they always want that, you know, and I get it. Everybody's about the next contract, and he's no different. I can't blame him for that. But I do blame him for just quitting on the season and when he's making $48 million this year. That's not right.
Dave, thanks. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.